for the good of one another. And there's an interesting concern that we show when we ask how people are doing and we hear a testimony of what's going on in their lives and we pray for them. And when we gather, we testify together to our one faith, our one Lord, our one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. So very briefly, they were the words of worship, and all of them are really important. There's so much more that could be said about all of them. But with the time we've got left, I want to focus in on singing. Not because it should be elevated above all the others, not at all. But it's the one that maybe we don't think so deeply about that often. And it's the one that I've given most thought to. So let's return to those words in Colossians. Colossians 3:16 again says, "Let the word of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." In one small verse, through God, through Paul, God has given us clear and detailed guidance for our music ministry. But thinking about this verse and how it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell," well, how specifically does singing help us do that? How does singing help the word of Christ dwell in us? Now, I think there's three main ways to consider. Singing helps make the word memorable. Now, if I ask you to sing a song right now on the spot, I don't think many of you would have trouble thinking of a song, would you? Any volunteers? Anyone want to sing? No? Okay. I'm sure you wouldn't have trouble thinking of a song that you remember in your mind, because they're so ingrained in us. It might be a song you remember from childhood, like "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." It could be a classic hymn like "How Great Thou Art, How Great Thou Art," that we sung as we opened today. Maybe it's a pop song you just can't get out of your head. "I'm not going to sing." It was great as well the other week to hear when we learnt in the morning and the song "Jesus the King, Ruler over Everything." I heard from a few people that as the kids went over to junior church, there was a few of them, quite a few of them, just singing it. They didn't have the words in front of them, but they were memorizing the truth of the gospel as they went. The fact is, when you put words to music, it makes them memorable. Now, I don't know if you've heard of stories of Alzheimer's patients who they can still remember songs even though they might not be able to remember anything else. I was talking to George the other day. He told me about his grandma. And towards the end of her life, though she could say nothing else, she couldn't speak, she could still sing. There were still words that are in her mind that she could sing because they were with music. And God knows this. God knows that singing helps us to remember. That's why back in Deuteronomy 31, the Lord tells Moses to teach the Israelites a song. Because he knows that when the Israelites, when they enter the promised land, that they're going to disobey and they're going to go and worship idols. God knows that. So he says to Moses in chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, in verse 19, he says, "Now write down this song and teach it to the Israelites and have them sing it so that it may be a witness for me against them." He says, "This song will testify against them because it will not be forgotten by their descendants." So chapter 31 says, "So Moses wrote down this song that day and he taught it to the Israelites." God knows singing helps us to remember. So our songs should be full of the truth about God, who he is and what he's done. Should be full of the gospel, should be full of the word of Christ, so that we might remember it and not forget. I think singing, secondly, helps us to meditate on the word more profoundly. Singing helps us meditate on the great truths of the gospel in deeper ways, I think. It helps us comprehend the words more, I think because it slows us down. Now, it would be easy enough to say these words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." You can say them quite quickly. But what if I sing them? "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." It slows us down. It helps. It takes longer, and it gives us more chance to reflect. It gives us more chance for the words we're singing, the truth about Christ, to dwell and sink into our minds and our hearts. And singing, it breaks up words and phrases too. So I can say again, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through fiercest drought and storm. But we sing it, we say, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. It puts gaps in those phrases so we can dwell on them, and we can love singing them, and we can think about Christ and think deeply about it. And songs, they often use repetition as well to emphasize particular truths. Now think, what can repetition do? I think it drives home a main point, and it can give emphasis, and it can help us dwell more than once on a particular truth that we're singing. Now someone at Christ Church Forward, where I used to work in Sheffield, used to come up to me fairly often. Well, I think he must have done it a fair few times. He'd come up to me and say, Ben, I really don't like all these repeats we're doing. Can we stop it? He said, you know what? There's no problem with God's hearing, you know. He heard us the first time. And I usually respond by saying, really, it's not really for God's benefit, actually. It's not about his hearing. It's not for God's benefit. It's more for ours. Sometimes it really helps to repeat something because we're just too familiar with a song. It's so easy, isn't it, just to sing a song we know well, get to the end of a verse, and we might have been thinking about anything else. What we're having for lunch, what we're doing tomorrow. I used to sit in church on a Sunday night and think, what lesson have I got a plan for school tomorrow? Or, like, there's so many things that start going around your head if we don't maybe take the time to dwell longer, and repetition can help us. Maybe that happened to you tonight, I don't know, as we sung. Did you find yourself switching off? And let's not forget, too, God's songbook, the Psalms, the book of the Psalms, uses repetition an awful lot, too. That famous Psalm, Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, his love endures forever. His love endures forever. And it goes on, and it goes on. And you could find loads of psalms that have that phrase about his steadfast love enduring forever. Repetition is powerful, and repetition is biblical. And that's why I think many of the songs we love to sing use repetition. Think of When Peace Like a River. At the end of each verse we sing, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. Well, the song we sung tonight, How Great Is Our God, How Great Is Our God, sing with me and all will see how great is our God. Or Great Is Thy Faithfulness, which I know is Brenda's favourite hymn. We sing Great Is Thy Faithfulness and we sing the words Great Is Thy Faithfulness 10 times. If we don't do any repeats of any verses or choruses, we just sing it straight through. We sing the phrase Great Is Thy Faithfulness 10 times. And if you're like me, you've been around Beeston Free long enough, you'll remember good old Mr. Wayne, as we would sing a rousing hymn, maybe like, we're marching to Zion. He would often start up a repeat of a great refrain because it just flowed out of his heart, perhaps. And I think it was stirring. It was encouraging. And it definitely always kept us musicians on our toes, too. So singing, it helps us meditate on the word more profoundly. And thirdly and lastly in this section, singing just helps us engage our emotions. And this is our final point for today. Now we know, don't we, that music can make us emotional. Any music. Could be a film score. Could be a rousing national anthem. Could be anything. And it doesn't take much for our spines to tingle, does it? Doesn't take much for us music to make us smile or to make us cry, maybe. I think God, in his ultimate wisdom, made the world that way. He created music that way, and he created us as humans that way. The ability to respond in emotional ways is something that sets us apart as human beings, I think. It's because we are whole people, we are mind, heart, body, soul. We are thinking and feeling beings. I don't think it's a mistake that God made us that way. And that he made music to have that kind of emotional effect on us. But because music can have such an emotional effect, we should be careful. That's why we're not just going to listen to beautiful instrumental music in church. That's why we're not just going to let the music dominate without any words. And it's why God commands us to sing. It's word and music together. There's something about that combination which helps us dwell on the truth more richly, more deeply, more profoundly. Somehow music is able to affect us in profound ways. And we're not to deny that or to be afraid of it, I don't think. I think singing as God commanded us to do helps us fulfill his greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. Now, as I said, though, before, we do need to be careful with music. There's a really good quote that I came across as I was studying this year that said this: music is a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. It's a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. Music is great when it's in its right place. And it should always be serving the content. The most important thing when we sing is the words that we sing, and if they're true to Scripture. Because, as we heard Hebrews 4, the Word of God is living and active. It's why the contents of our song is so important. It's why we don't just sing willy-nilly any songs, but we think carefully about what songs to sing. And it's why I think when we think of worship ministry, we should remember, first of all, that worship ministry is word ministry. Now, talking about singing and God's word and emotions, Bob Coughlin says this. He says another really great quote: we need doctrinal fuel for our emotional fire. Doctrinal fuel for our emotional fire. We should never aim solely for emotional responses, and we're never to engage in just mindless emotionalism. But we should aim to dwell on the truth about God, and part of our response that flows should be emotional. Now, there are countless commands in the Psalms to sing and shout for joy, to praise God with gladness and with thanksgiving. And I think that's what Paul seems to be referring to in our passage here. I think he's talking about our emotional response when at the end of verse 16 he says, sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And in many ways, in many of Paul's letters, he says, rejoice. He calls us to have joy. Now, the New Testament makes it really clear that Christians, we should be marked by thankfulness and joyfulness and gladness because of all that Christ has done. Now, Paul doesn't seem to think that emotions are optional, that they're not just something for those who are emotionally inclined that way. Now, it seems like they're for every Christian. For the Christian faith, it's not just a set of doctrines that we just mentally assent to. It's not just something we tick, 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 that's true, that's true, that's true. It's not just about our minds, but it's about our hearts too. And I think we need to remember that here at Beeston Free. Like when we come to Christ, it's not just a decision that transforms our minds, it transforms our hearts as well. We have new affections for Christ when we come to him. Now, Jonathan Edwards, he's a prominent American theologian from back in the day, he was really clear on this. He said this about his aim when he was preaching. He said, I should think myself in the way of my duty to raise the affections of my hearers as high as possibly I can, provided that they are affected with nothing but truth and with affections that are not disagreeable to the nature of what they are affected with. Now, his goal was to raise the affections of his hearers as long as those affections were flowed from the truth of the gospel. I think this, too, should be true of our singing as well, not just our preaching. When we sing of how great God's mercy and grace is, when we think of how he's shown us his great love by sending his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, when we think of him who was raised to life, who now sits ascended in heaven, when we think of him as we dwell on Christ and all he's done for us, it should stir us, should stir our hearts. We should be filled with godly, truth-filled, Christ-directed emotions. I think emotional responses to the gospel, they're not just to be permitted, they're to be pursued. I think they are something of what it means to be truly human. If we're to be truly human and truly biblical and truly to be Christ-like, it means that we should be emotional. And just think, what would be the alternative if we didn't sing? Should we just shout truth at each other? Just read the words on the screen in silence? What would we be missing if that was what we did? Why do we sing? I think one of those reasons is singing helps us engage emotionally. So singing the word helps us to dwell on the word in all these ways, and it shapes a big part of our response to him. So as we started by asking, what should we do when we gather? We've seen that in our gatherings, we need the revelation of God to govern all our words of response to him and to each other. Basically, we need God's word to shape our words. Our songs, our prayers, our preaching, in all we do as we meet together, we need them to be filled with God's word so that as God so graciously has revealed himself to us, we might rightly and appropriately respond to him. Because all true worship is all about God's revelation and our right response. Let me pray for us as we finish. Father, we pray for your help, Lord, to be a church that takes your word seriously. And as we meet and gather each week, that we be people who gather expectant to hear from you and ready to respond to you together in singing, in hearing the word, in hearing the preached word, and as we see the signs of your word, as we gather and we fellowship with each other and share words to each other, may they all be filled with your word. May the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts every week be pleasing to you, Lord, we pray, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our final song. And this is a bit of a, you might think it's a bit of a strange choice. It's Speak, O Lord. And often we'd sing that before a sermon. Let's stand. Speak, O Lord. I've chosen it because it says this. It says so many things about what we've just been thinking about. It says, cause our faith to rise and cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. They're words of power that can never fail. Let their truth prevail over the lies, over the idols. Let the truth prevail over our unbelief. We pray in the last verse that you would speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. So let's sing together. Speak, O Lord.